Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy to be praised. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. We want to thank the Lord for that beautiful song. I surrender, Jehovah Shammah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Thank you, Lord. I praise you. I glorify you. I give you all the honor. I give you all the praise. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos, Jr. of The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, your host, here on Blog Talk Radio. You could call us and make contact at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Today is Sunday the 24th, and we have our Bible mystery, the names or titles of God. Today we are asking for the definition of Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. S-H-A-M-M-A-H. Jehovah Shammah. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What does it mean? Glory. What does Jehovah Shammah mean? Glory be to the Lord. And I gave you where we could find it, Ezekiel 48:35. We're going to read that chapter. And why was God called Jehovah Shammah? Hallelujah. God will return to Jerusalem someday and be with his people. Glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we have some other stuff that we're going to share as we go on with the teaching today. But I want to encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors here to Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. And if someone comes up with the correct answer, if this is your first time calling in, you get a beautiful, colorful, accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. The tabernacle is also called the Tent of Meetings. It was also called the Tabernacle of Meetings and the Tabernacle of Praise. Glory be to the Lord. It was a temporary shelter where Moses and the people followed the cloud by day. Wherever the clouds stopped, they would rebuild the temple there, and they would continue the services. The moment that the cloud began to move, they would disassemble the tent and go after the cloud. Glory be to the Lord. God would speak to them from the mercy seat. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And this pamphlet shows you the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifices in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. Glory be to the Lord. That's for those who call for the first time. If you are sick, if this is your sick call, then I will. Also, the church will mail you a beautiful, colorful Our Father prayer. The personal house of prayer is broken down into 12 rooms. 12 rooms in your personal house of prayer. Glory be. Color-coded for the colors of the Messiah. And it has scriptures that you can follow through. And each one speaks of parts of the Our Father prayer. Back in Isaiah 56:7, God said, I will give them joy in my house of prayer. For my house will be called the house of prayer for all nations. Isaiah 56:7. So that's a beautiful printout of the Our Father prayer. That'll be your prize if this is second time calling or more. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So today we're dealing with Jehovah Shammah, the names or titles of God. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What does Jehovah Shammah mean? Glory be to the Lord. I'm going to read some experts, some gospel messages, and some printouts. But every place where I see that answer to that question, I would just indicate Jehovah Shammah, because I don't want to give you the answer. I want you to study your word. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to read, first of all, if you follow with me, Ezekiel chapter 48, beginning at verse 1, and it ends at verse 35. And somewhere in there, you're going to find the answer to Jehovah Shammah. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And the word of God says, now these are the names of the tribes from the north end to the coast of the way of Het Lion as one going to Hamath. Hesman, the border of Damascus northward to the coast of Hamath, for these are his sides east and west, a portion for Dan. And by the border of Dan from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Asher. And from the border of Asher from the east side even unto the west side, a portion for Naphtali. And from the border of Naphtali from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Manasseh. And by the border of Manasseh from the east side unto the west, a portion for Ephraim. And by the border of Ephraim from the east side even unto the west side, a portion for Reuben. And by the border of Reuben from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Judah. And by the border of Judah from the east side unto the west side shall be the offering which you shall offer of 5,020 reed in breadth, and in length of one of the underparts from the east side unto the west side, and the sanctuary shall be in the midst of it. The oblations that shall offer unto the Lord shall be a fire, and 20,000 in length, and of 10,000 in breadth. And for them, even for the priests, shall be this holy oblation. Toward the north, 5,020 in length, and towards the west, 10,000 in breadth. And toward the east, 10,000 in breadth, and towards the south, 4,020 in length, and the sanctuary of the Lord shall be in the midst thereof. It shall be for the priests that are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. And the oblation of the land that is offered shall be unto them a thing most holy by the borders of the Levites, and over against the borders of the priests, the Levites that have 5,020 in length and 10,000 in breadth, all the length shall be 5,020, and the breadth 10,000. And they shall not sell of it, neither exchange, nor alienate the first fruits of the land, for it is holy unto the Lord. And the 5,000 that are left in the breadth, over against the 5,020, shall be a profane place for the city, for dwellings and for suburbs, and the city shall be in the midst thereof. And these shall be the measure thereof. The north side, 4,500, and the south side, 4,500, and on the east side, 5,500, and on the west side, 5,500. And the suburbs of the city shall be towards the north 250, and towards the south, 250, and towards the east, 250, and towards the west, 250, and the residue in length over against the oblations of the holy portion shall be 10,000 eastward and 10,000 westward, and it shall be over against the oblation of the holy portion, and the increase thereof shall be for food unto them that serve the city. And they that serve the city shall serve it after all the tribes of Israel. All the oblation shall be 5,000 and 20,000 by 5,000 and 20,000. You shall offer the holy oblation four square with the processions of the city. And the residue shall be the prince on the one side, and on the other, the holy oblation, and of the possession of the city over against the 5,000 and 20,000 of the oblation towards the east border, and westward over against the 5,000 and 20,000 to the west border, over against the portions for the prince, and it shall be the holy oblation, and the sanctuary of the house shall be in the midst thereof. Moreover, from the possessions of the Levites and from the possessions of the city, being in the midst of that which is the princes between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin, shall be for the prince. As for the rest of the tribes from the east side unto the west side, Benjamin shall have a portion. And by the borders of Benjamin, from the east side unto the west side, Simeon shall have a portion. And by the borders of Simeon, from the east side unto the west side, Issachar a portion. And by the border of Issachar, from the east side and unto the west side, Zebulun a portion. And from the border of Zebulun, from the east side unto the west side, Gad a portion. And from the border of Gad at the south side, southward, the border shall even be from Tamar unto the waters of Strive in Kadesh, and to the river towards the great sea. This is the land which ye shall divide by lot unto the tribes Israel for inheritance, and these are their portions, saith the Lord God. And these are the goings out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures. The gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel, three gates northward, one gate of Reuben, one gate of Judah, and one gate of Levi. And at the east side, 4,500, and three gates, and one gate of Joseph, one gate of Benjamin, one gate of Dan. And on the south side, 4,500 measures, and three gates. One gate of Simeon, one gate of Issachar, one gate of Zebulun. As the west side, 4,500, with their three gates, one gate of Gad, one gate of Asher, one gate of Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measures by the name of the city from that day shall be. Jehovah Shema. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Jehovah Shema. And so when they built the city, and we see, and when they divided the land, we see that in the midst thereof, the temple was going to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why was God called Jehovah Shema? It's another question. One of the answers that we could find is God will return to Jerusalem someday and be with his people. Why? Let us go into Matthew chapter 23, verses 38 and 39. And this is what Matthew recorded. He said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And we understand that this portion which Matthew writes, he's quoting Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is telling the Jewish nation that their house was left unto them desolated. Now, we read a little bit of what God said way back in the Old Testament. But because of the Jewish stubbornness and hardness of heart and their rejection of the Messiah, things changed. What did God say? Well, we read it in the beginning, Isaiah 56:7. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. I will give them joy in my house of prayer. So we see that the temple was supposed to be our house of prayer. When we look at Thessalonians, we read where Paul admonishes us. He says, pray without ceasing. We are to continue to pray. Why? Because in Corinthians, he says, look, your body is the temple of the Lord, where he gave the Holy Spirit unto us, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, who is holy, will not dwell in an unclean vessel. You know, and that's where some people have a problem with the scriptures, and they want it to mean something else. But the scriptures are very clear that body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The spirit belongs to God. The body belongs to God. Holy, hallelujah, hallelujah, holy, holy, holy. And the angels cried out, holy, holy, holy. But Jesus said, just before he was turned over to be crucified, you know, he was talking to them and he shared with them a lot of information. They would not receive it. So Jesus cried out when he saw, he says in verse 37, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stones them which are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicklings under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me any henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So we know that there's a couple of verses we read where Jesus says he would not come until this gospel is preached throughout the whole nation. A lot of people skip this verse, and he's telling them they would not see him until they cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, you have to understand that the word Ichabod is in the Bible. And Ichabod means the anointing or the glory of the Lord ascended away from the temple. And you know that story when the priests and the people of Israel did wrong, they disobeyed God and they worshiped idols. You know, there was a time when the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, ascended away from the temple. Ichabod. I mean, look at what happened to Israel even after they crucified Jesus. He resurrected according to the scriptures. Right there and then, they should have repented. They should have asked God for forgiveness, and their temple would have been restored, because they would have understood that Christ is the Holy Spirit in us, and our body is a temple. But they kept crying out, the temple, the temple, the temple, through the prophets. The temple, the temple, the temple. What did God do? God did not want them to worship the temple. God wanted him to be worshiped. you know, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall not worship no idols. You shall worship the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the Shema. And we as Christians, born-again Christians, we deal with that every day because we don't want to have Ichabod in ourselves. We don't want the Holy Spirit to separate from us. If you remember, Psalms 51, when David was praying and he was crying unto God, one of the things he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He said, renew right spirit within me. And so, brothers and sisters, you know, sometimes you pray and it just seems like God is not answering. He is answering. Think about it this way, my brothers and sisters. If you remember when you was in school and the teacher gave a test, most of the time the teacher will be silent. You're there with that paper and you're taking the test. So goes with our God. He's allowing us to go through certain tests, and it seems like he's not speaking. It seems like he's not acting on our behalf, but he is. When we humble ourselves and when we search out the scriptures and understand that God is with us, you know, we would understand we're not being left alone. If you remember in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, God said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And being interpreted means God with us. So when Jesus Christ was born and he assembled his disciples and he was sharing the scriptures with them, they realized this is God with us. When Jesus talked to the disciples, he said, whom does man say that I am? Some of them said, a prophet. Some of them said, a great teacher. You know, some of them said, Elijah. But Jesus turned around and asked them, but whom do you say that I am? Peter, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's our confession, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the promised Savior. God said there's no other Savior but him. Jesus Christ, his name, Jehovah Shammah, refers to certain scriptures that relate to salvation. When we go to Psalms 118:25, and we read about the word Hosanna, the people cried out, please save us. That is, please save us means Hosanna. So when the people were crying Hosanna to the highest, when Jesus was riding on the donkey on a day like today, but about 2,000 years ago, when he came into Jerusalem, the people put down their clothes on the ground. Jesus rode on a donkey, and the oxen, and they walked into the land. Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem, signifying that God was telling the people, here is your king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He comes in, like the prophet said, lowly, sitting upon a donkey. Glory be to the Lord. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. So he is Jehovah Shammah. That's one of his names that in the Old Testament was being related to the people. When will God return to Jerusalem? God will return to Jerusalem someday and be with his people. Well, Jesus came, and then he told the people, you will not see me again until you say Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And when is that going to happen? Well, if you read your gospel correctly and you look at Matthew chapter 24 in verse 29:39 around there, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sign of the Son of God coming in the clouds would appear. All nations will see him, and they will see the marks in his hands, the marks in his feet. In the prophet Zechariah, one would ask him, where did you get these marks? And he would answer and say, at my friend's house. And they will begin to mourn because they're going to realize they had crucified the Messiah. They had crucified God. Rightly so, Pontius Pilate kept the same writing on the tablet over the body of Christ when he was on the cross, rightly so. Because in that tablet, he wrote in the three languages, Greek, Hebrew, and Latin. And he wrote, this is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And give you a little nugget, the Jewish people always take the first letter of the words to see if they have a secret meaning. When they look at that word that Pontius Pilate wrote, this is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, they were angry. They ran back to him. The high priest ran back and said, don't say that he's the King of the Jews. Say that he says he's the King of the Jews. And Pontius Pilate responded. That was in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Pontius Pilate responded, what I've written, I've written. And they're going to mourn when they see him because they're going to realize what they did way back when. Even now, a lot of the Jewish people, my brothers and sisters, are receiving a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that they've been lied to by the so-called leaders of the nation. So there are Jewish people who love Jesus and they became born again. We were born once in the flesh, but we need to be born in the spirit. Why? Because our DNA, our nature was tainted. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, it fell upon all of us. Sin came into the world, and because of sin, death came upon all of us. But we needed to be born again. Why? Because we was born once in the natural. Now we need to be born again in the spiritual. And we take on the spiritual nature that God has given to us, and we are able to fellowship with God. If you remember the exchange between Jesus and the lady at the well, Jesus answered, said, now is when the true worshipers of God will worship him in spirit and in truth. Because the lady at the well, the Samaritan woman, she was taught that there in the well of Jacob, and versus the Jewish people who say it's only in Jerusalem could you worship God. Jesus said, neither in these places are you going to worship. You're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so that's what happened. So Jesus Christ, you know, told them, listen, your house is left to you desolate. I'm leaving, you know, and they crucified the Son of God afresh. They made him carry the beam up the hill to Golgotha. They nailed him to the cross. They killed him. And Jesus cried out, it is finished. At the same time that the high priest finished his atonement, bringing the blood from the animal sacrifice into the holy place, he came back and he told the people, it is finished. That's what Jesus did. It is finished. And the evidence of that was the linen cloth in the temple was rent from top to bottom, and signifying that there was a new way we could approach God directly now. We didn't have to go through the high priest. We don't have to go to the priest. We could go like Paul writes in his one of his epistles. We could have boldness and enter into the Holy of Holies. Glory be to the Lord. Why? Because of the Messiah. But Jesus told the Jewish people, your house is left unto you desolate. And that's what happens. Their house was desolate. Ichabod. In the Old Testament, the word Ichabod, At that time, it was the glory or the Holy Spirit left the church. Ichabod. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ left them. He gave himself over as a sacrifice, and because he did so, he laid the foundation for the New Testament. If you remember when they were celebrating the Lord's Passover, he took bread and broke it and he gave to his disciples. He said, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. And then when supper was ending, he took the cup and he gave to his disciples. He said, I'll not drink it until I drink it new in my Father's kingdom. He says, this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the remission of sins of many. Not all. Not all would accept Jesus Christ as Yeshua HaMashiach, as the Messiah, as Jehovah Shammah. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have to understand that the house in Jerusalem was left desolate. Now, why all of a sudden, you know, we're talking about the house? Well, let's look at the printout regarding this issue. What is the significance of the city called Jehovah Shammah in Ezekiel 48:35? Hallelujah. Jerusalem. Remember, we're going to have a new Jerusalem to come down, and we're going to dwell there in the millennial kingdom, right? Jerusalem. You know, we know Jerusalem now, but it was desecrated by Titus and his army when they destroyed Jerusalem and when they destroyed the temple back in 70 AD because the Jewish people rebelled against them. So they destroyed the temple and they destroyed the city. But there's going to come a time when, as we read in Ezekiel, how the different portions are going to be divided into the different tribes, Israel, you know, and that name is going to be known as Jehovah Shammah. The city will be called Jehovah Shammah. Why is it that from a person like Jesus Christ to a city of Jerusalem called Jehovah Shammah? Well, you have to understand, Jesus Christ's name means salvation. Jesus means salvation. Hosanna means please save us. And so when the people cried out to save them, and that's what's going to happen when during the tribulation time, Amos and other prophets say that 2/3 of Israel will be destroyed. Some of the women will be raped. Some of the people there will be killed, and there's going to be 1/3, a remnant, that's going to run to the mountains. Remember, like Lot ran to the mountains, and he was saved from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, these people are going to run to the mountains. They're going to run to the mountains of Petra. The Antichrist is not able to attack them in Petra. They're going to be saved. They're going to cry out, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. When they see Jesus, they're going to cry, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. But the city that is going to be built is going to be called Jehovah Shammah. What does Jehovah Shammah means? Well, let's look at what is the significance of the city called Jehovah Shammah. In Ezekiel 40-48, describes a future temple and a city central during the thousand-year reign of the Messiah. In the final verse of the section, Ezekiel's prophecy, the city is called Jehovah Shammah, and it also gives the answer to question number one. But I'm not going to repeat that question. I'm not going to repeat the answer. The question is, what does Jehovah Shammah mean? Ezekiel introduces the section by describing what he refers to as a structure like a city, Ezekiel 40:2. And that city in that city was a specifically described and dimensioned temple, described especially in Ezekiel 41 to 42, chapter 41 to 42. The glory of the Lord would enter and fill this temple, Ezekiel 43:2-5. God would dwell there and accept offerings and sacrifices there for national cleansing, Ezekiel 43:6-27. Record that Jesus died for all individual people and called upon all to believe in him. In John 3:16, it appears that for the nation of Israel to be cleansed as a nation, sacrifices pointing to Christ will be utilized in the millennium. Some have suggested that the sacrifice during this time are simply memorials of what Jesus accomplished with the shedding of his blood. While the text does not expressly answer the question of why these sacrifices were taking place, besides the acceptance of the people as a whole, Ezekiel 43:27, it is clear that the glory of the Lord himself was there at the temple. In Ezekiel 45, the focus shifted from the city, from the temple to the city. There will be a massive selection of the city next to the holy portion, the temple site, that will be designated for the whole of Israel, Ezekiel 45:6. Portions of the land surrounding the city will be designated for called the prince and the other princes of Israel, Ezekiel 45:7-8. And the rest of the land will be divided by tribes, Ezekiel 45:8. Water flow from the temple in this city became a great river that supported trees bearing fruit for food and healing, Ezekiel 47:1-12. The glory and the presence of the Lord will be central to all this as the Lord is there. The entire nation, tribe by tribe, will be given allotments of land, and the center of the city will be the focus of life in that land, Ezekiel 48:17-22. There will be four large gates, one for every three tribes, to the north, east, south, and west, Ezekiel 48:30-34. The city will be called Jehovah Shammah or Yahweh Shammah or the blank, Ezekiel 48:35. Throughout biblical history of God communicated that the people descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were his people and that he would be with them. Examples, Genesis 26:4 and Exodus 19:6. In the time past, God led the people from the distance. But in this kingdom that will one day be established on earth, the Lord will personally be there. When God became a man, he was called Emmanuel. That means God with us, Matthew 1:23. Jesus was God with us. After Jesus ascended to heaven, he and the Father sent the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, to be with his disciples who believe in Jesus Christ, John 16:5-11, and Acts chapter 2. The Lord is with us today through the Holy Spirit, who lives in all of those who believe in Jesus, 1 Corinthians 3:16. But when Jesus is revealed in glory and comes to establish his kingdom on earth, Revelation 19:13-24-6, the Lord will be on earth, living in Jerusalem again. The city Ezekiel saw will rightfully be called Yahweh Shammah or Jehovah Shammah because the Messiah will be there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the name of Jerusalem will be changed. I mean, it shouldn't be nothing strange. When you see a couple get married, the woman most of the time take the last name of the husband. So her name is changed. And so is with Jerusalem. When Jesus descends down to Mount Olivet, he destroys the enemies and he rescues the remnant that's in the mountains of Petra. And he begins his millennial reign. That city will be called Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. What does Jehovah Shammah mean? Well, we found it in Ezekiel 38:35, right? We found it in Psalms 118:25. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we found it in Matthew 23:38-39. We found it in Matthew 21:9. We found it in Isaiah 7:14. What does Jehovah Shammah means? Glory. Again, if you call Block Talk Radio, you could call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio, and you give your answer. And if you get the right answer and this is the first time you're calling, you'll get a beautiful, colorful, accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. It shows the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolism of the point of Jesus, the sacrifices, the tabernacle, the garments of the high priest. So the tabernacle was also known as the temple of meetings, hallelujah, or the tabernacle of the congregation. And God will speak to them from the mercy seat. Glory be to the Lord. When that tent of meetings was up, when any time that cloud by day would move, they would take the tent down and they would follow the cloud. Wherever the cloud stopped, they would rebuild the tent and continue the services. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you call, and this is your second time or above, calling regarding the answers to the question, you will get a beautiful printout of the 12 rooms in your personal house of prayer. God said, for my house will be called the house of prayer for all nations, Isaiah 56:7. I will give them joy in my house of prayer. And we've broken the house of prayer or the Our Father prayer into 12 rooms. So it will be something that will be edifying to you and will bring a study for you to continue and exhort you in ways that will help you out to understand. We got about 11 minutes to go, and you can call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. The question is, what does Jehovah Shammah mean? Glory be to the Lord. In the meantime, let me give you a little itinerary of the church and a little disclaimer. The itinerary is every Sunday at 7 p.m. we have the Bible Mysteries. We are dealing with the names and titles of God at this time. Next week, we're going to be looking at another name or title of God, Jehovah Sisinu, Sikunu, T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U, Jehovah Sisinu. And we're going to look at that and see what the Word of God tells us regarding that name, that title. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we'll continue. Hallelujah. We have, after that, Jehovah Melchizedekim, M-E-K-O-D-D-I-S-H-K-E-M. Then we're going to look at Olam, O-L-A-M. Then we're going to look at Elohim. Then we're going to look at Quanah, Q-A-N-N-A. Then we're going to look at Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Sabbath. And then the last one we're going to look at is Jesus the Christ. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, it is good to go and look up these names and get acquainted with these names, because when you read them in the scriptures, I mean, the Jewish people have no problem, because when they read their Tanakh, which is the five books of Moses, and when they read the prophets, when they read the writings, they read those names, you know? And there is a name, it's called the tetragram, is the letters of the name of God. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And that's what they saw when they looked up at Jesus hanging on the cross. You know, Pontius Pilate wrote, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." When the Jewish people deciphered those words and they took the first letter of each word, it came out to J-H-V-H, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And to them it said, they crucified God. Excuse me. They crucified God, so they wanted Pontius Pilate to change that. But Pontius Pilate didn't change it. He left it the way it is. And we have it in history. We have it in different portions of the writings, like Josephus. We have it in different history books. And, you know, you cannot deny it that at this time, if you go to Jerusalem, and I've been in Jerusalem 2016 with my wife, there is no temple. Just like Jesus predicted, the rocks were thrown down by the Roman soldiers. All the rocks were thrown down from the temple. There was not one left. And the temple was desecrated. And afterwards, we understand that God allowed that mountain to explode, Pompeii, and it covered all Italy, and it covered all the Middle East there. Yeah, a lot of people die in that mountain, that eruption. Well, we have to understand, my brothers and sisters, we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you're not, today the Bible says it's a day of salvation. The Holy Spirit said, in the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. So I beseech you, brother, knowing the terror of God, that you reconcile yourself unto God. Put away the lying. Put away things. Because it's not good that you are away from God. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. He loves you very much. He loved you so much that he sent his son, his only son, to die on the cross for you. He took upon him our sins. He became sin that we will become the righteousness of God in him. Imagine that. Could we not recognize that? There's no other place where you could understand that God did this for us. That you can't go to the library, you can't go to any newspaper. You know, you need to read it for yourself in the Bible. God loves you so much, no matter what you have done. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man whom God does not impute sin." So in Christ Jesus, God is not going to impute sin on you. He's not going to point you out, because Christ brought peace between us and God. There is no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Don't cast this away. The next big event that we have is the rapture. So today is the Bible mystery. We're looking at the names of God, the titles. Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we have prayer. Thursday, we have Bible study, and we're looking at the title, What's Next? And what's next is, we believe, is the rapture, and we're breaking it down as well. We know that the second coming of Christ is divided into two phases. Phase number one is the rapture. Phase number two is the return. And don't let it be said that Christ came and offered you an opportunity to be saved. Turn it down, and then you find yourself going to the judgments. To the judgment, the great white throne judgment, you find yourself going to where the enemy, Satan, will be going. You have an opportunity right now. You don't have to speak to anybody. Just speak to God directly. Open your heart. Humble yourself. You know, he will hear you, and he will answer you. And he will direct you where to go so you could grow spiritually. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we want to thank the Lord for this opportunity that you have. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Today is the day of salvation. Why? Because the rapture could take place at any second. And if it does and you're not part of that number, you'll be left behind to deal with the one world government of the Antichrist, the one world religion, the one world culture of the Antichrist. And it'd be a hard thing. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'll accept Christ during the tribulation time or just before it happens. But look, if right now you don't have to do anything but that, God forgives you, you repent of your sin, let him come into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Right now it's free. Later on, people have to give their necks for the cause of Christ. So you have an opportunity to choose to be saved right now. You know, you could talk to him. Pastor Ramos, I cannot save you. Only God could save you. You know, Jehovah Shammah, Hosanna, please save us. And Jesus Christ will save you. He said in all wise, the people that come to him will he turn away. In no wise he would accept you. He knows what you have done. He knows what you're going through, but he has an answer for your problem. He has something for you to rejoice over. Glory be to the Lord. So we have about 1 minute to go, and I want to thank Blog Talk Radio for the opportunity once again to send out the transmission worldwide. If you'd like to send an email to the church, it's WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. You want to talk to the pastor after the program is over at 8 o'clock, 772-626-3178. And we want to praise God. We want to thank him for everything. So until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.